Bâtiment de force motrice, samedi 19 mars, fin mars, un samedi ensoleillé, c'est Irène au micro de la fabrique et je me retrouve ici dans le loge du BFM avec un acteur de théâtre, Théâtre de Shakespeare, pour parler d'un projet fou, d'un rêve, le projet Hamlet Globe to Globe. Le premier globe, c'est le Théâtre de Shakespeare sur le bord de la Tamise et le deuxième globe, c'est le monde entier. Une compagnie de 16 hommes et femmes autour du monde pour 7 continents. Et Hamlet, il est mis en scène, il a été mis en scène dans 181 pays déjà. Et c'est un projet parrainé par l'UNESCO et il y a encore 6 mois de voyage. Je me retrouve ici avec Tom Lawrence. Hello.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. So Tom, who are you in the company?
So I'm one of the actors and as all of us play lots of different parts. So I alternate between a track which includes Laertes, Guildenstern, Bernardo, another track that's Horatio, the Captain Rinaldo, and then a third track which is Marcellus Fortinbras and Rosencrantz. So the play can operate with as few as 8 actors on stage, anything between 8 and 12, and between us we will play all the parts.
So you cannot get ready quite in advance, because I guess if you feel ill tomorrow, then somebody has to replace you.
Exactly, right? Yeah, it's partly an insurance because it's so demanding, travelling the entire world. But it's also to keep us kind of excited and alert, because I think to do the same thing for 2 years is a challenge in itself, whereas this just keeps it alive and fresh and playful. You know.
I think that's true. And so the company is 16 men and women. We have also some mixture of ethnicities, so it's kind of represent the ideal world of peace and love, I would say, this company.
Yeah.
How everybody was chosen and...
That's exactly right. That's at the core of it, was wanting really to mirror both the world as it is. I mean, certainly London is very cosmopolitan, as most European cities are now. And to mirror that world, but also to present a world as, you know, we would like it to be. Because there are many places where certainly we're visiting where women wouldn't necessarily even be allowed on stage. And certainly the idea of colourblind casting, which is, is pretty normal and commonplace now in London. That's still quite unusual around much of the globe. So, but that seems to be met only by surprise, really. They may not have seen it before, but it's very welcomed. And obviously it's really important, as we're playing so many diverse cultures, that children and audience members see themselves reflected in some way on stage.
So you never had any problem, like people saying, "Ooh, what's a woman doing on that stage?"
I mean, there has been discussion, it has come up in Q&As, of which we do many, but no, as I say, it hasn't ever been a hostile reaction.
No, that's great.
I guess the fact that the people who come to watch it, they're supportive of that as an idea in the first place.
But how did you get into the company? So are you working for the Globe before, and then the organizers say, okay, you 60, you come with me to around the world for charity. Was it like that?
It's a mixture. So
okay.
That for me, it was exactly that.
Okay.
I've been working at the Globe for about 6, 7, 8 years, and this production had an earlier incarnation of which I was part of that cast, as were 3 other members of this company. Then other members weren't necessarily in that production but have worked at the Globe a lot. They've come in. Other people, it's their first job,
mm-hmm.
having graduated from drama school. So it's a mixture. But like you touched on before, a key part of that was getting a group of people, a diverse group of people who could play a lot of different roles, so with flexibility, and mad enough to leave home for 2 years. So this is the end of leg 11, and it's our final leg. Leg 12 begins a week today.
So you're going back to London?
But yeah, then we go back, and then we're heading the last few countries, which are mostly European countries and the Middle East. So some quite dangerous territories. We're going to Afghanistan, for example. Where we're under military protection.
Were you ever afraid in some specific country?
I've never been. I mean, we've discussed a lot, and security is very carefully considered, and we have incredible support from the office back at the Globe headquarters in London, and from the British government, British embassies, the British Council. So no, I've never really been scared or threatened at any one point. But we have played territories which are insecure, and but to be honest, in the current climate, you're probably in as much danger in London or Paris or wherever, you know, as you are in Somaliland at the moment. You
yeah,
know,
you could have in some respects.
So yeah. Yeah.
And even if you're moving from one country to another very quickly, do you also sometimes have time to do some workshop with kids or?
We do, yeah.
Oh, you do that?
Wherever possible. I mean, sadly, the schedule's such, we're moving at such a pace, we can't do as much of that as we'd like. I mean, first up, we just try and get as many students and children in as possible, and often we'll do matinees primarily for school parties. And where there's room for at least a Q&A, and if not a workshop, we will do it. I mean, we some of the refugee camps we've played, they've become more kind of workshopy performances sometimes, because we have to be a bit flexible with the play. And sometimes we don't have the set. You know, we've arrived in countries and the set hasn't, nor our costume, and we've been there in a t-shirt and flip-flops. None of our luggage.
Amazing.
And so then we've got to be a bit flexible.
How is it going to be back to our normal life?
None of us know. And it's because I don't even quite know what normal life is. And the strange thing for this tour, which I hadn't anticipated, is that this life on the road is now our norm, and to the point that we feel a bit foreign when we go home. And it was the one bit of good advice my auntie gave me, who'd spent all her life travelling, and she said, one, take a notebook and a pen, keep that with you all the time, but also be prepared that when you come home, people won't be very interested in the stories you have to tell. And it's the sad truth, like, you know, you hook up with your mates you haven't seen for ages. It's like, oh wow, where have you been? Oh god, mate. And then that's pretty much the end of the conversation, and you start talking about, I don't know, whatever's going on at their work, or like what they've done to their flat. I feel like it could be one of two ways. We could either not be able to stop travelling, or we'll never travel again. My hunch is that I won't be able to stop travelling and keep wanting to. It's been life changing.
If I were you, after 2 months really around the world, I would just say, probably just never stop.
That's how I feel.
Because it's
strange when I go back to London now, which is...
I mean, which other option would you have, for example? Which other things you would like to do? Would you carry on doing theatre or writing or...
I'm having worked on one project for so long, a part of you craves to work on a new creative project. Work with new ideas, so I'm really excited to do that. There are also other things I kind of want to continue. I'm writing about this very tour, potentially that might become something in itself, and photography, and so there are things to tie up. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's so many things related to this to continue. I'd love to have a bit of a change from theatre for a bit, and maybe do some screen work. But equally, that it's just been so eye-opening. Opportunities around the world. I would love to go back to Africa, mm-hmm. and maybe work on a project there, or maybe in other places. And because of the people we've met along the way, opportunities are already arising for that, to maybe go and do workshops or you know, direct.
God, life is full of dreams.
it is, and it really it's just that they've expanded those dreams this 2 years. I mean, it.
One final message to those people: realize that what I've been doing until now probably is not really the thing they want to do, and they would like to switch to something else, probably totally different and probably related more to art.
Oh, it's, you know, it's not for, I'm in no position to offer advice in that respect, but I think it's so important to follow your passion, because I think, you know, putting good energy into the world is the best any of us can do, and the best way to do that is to follow what you love and what you feel deeply passionate about, and what comes easy to you, even though the journey to doing that might not be easy, and there's certainly, with any arts, there's a huge degree of risk. It's competitive, it's unstable, but if there's any way to make it work, you know, not necessarily in its perfect, you know, the ideal of it, but if you can make it work in whatever capacity, I think that's worth pushing for.
And in any case, things, I think they're going to go follow then, because it's
I think so. I you know, I'm a big believer in what you put out there, the world responds, the universe does respond, you know. And, I mean, this is interesting, for example, like all of us have reflected on everything that led us up to this point, and I've realised how much I've just wanted to explore all my life, and I have at every opportunity. But there was a long time where I wanted to just leave London and go somewhere, and I sort of think I should have just done that before, you know. But you get caught up in your career. And
but then if you didn't do that, you would not be on the road to Globe.
Exactly, exactly. So there's no regrets, no regrets.
This final actual message, no regrets. It's amazing, it's amazing. So thank you very much,
Tom
Lawrence.
Thank you.
Thank you.